So Chavtesi will be the yahrzeit of Rav Meir from Farmishlan. Very special, very unique tzaddik. He was a Talmud Mubuk of Rav Mordechai for Kramnitz, also by the Chizah from Lublin. And he had very interesting Torahs. We have a collection of them where he always had a way of looking at psukim and darshaning them in ways which the mind would never expect to see a pasuk and to apply it in like a moment's time in a given situation. He was maflig ma'oid ma'oid in the union of tzedakah and hachnasas arachim. He said he came to that because the one thing that you need to know about Rav Meir from Mishlan is that he always referred to himself in third person. He would talk about himself if he was somebody else. He referred to him as Meirla. That's how he referred to himself, Meirla. And that's how he talked when he'd speak about himself. He once said that when he made an Aliyas Neshama one time and he was up in Himmel, so he saw that there were people who were dying and they were coming before the Beis Neshamala. A certain Talmud Chacham came and they saw that he had learned a lot of Torah, but then they decided they needed to make an investigation to see if he had learned Torah Lishma. And it didn't work out so well for that Talmud Chacham. Somebody else who came up, and it was a big Baal Tefillah, Da'al Lada Kavana, Ma'or Le'olam. And then decided they said we need to examine if he did a Lashem Shemayim. And again, very shaky. Then a Baal Tzedaka came up, and as soon as it was shown that he was a Baal Tzedaka, so they didn't ask any questions. They led him straight into the Gan Eden. So Rav Meir was there. He says, asked them, he said, what? How did he get a free pass? So they told him, they said, because when you give money to the Ani, what's the difference how you did it? Hey, so the Ani's got the money. So when he heard that, he said, I have to be a Gabbai Tzedaka. And he was a Gabbai Tzedaka. He was mamish bedachkus an ma'ayit. He had nothing. He gave everything away. But that's where he learned that from. It's a cute story. We've shared it before. And there was an usher who came to visit him and he saw the poverty which the family was living in. So he wanted to give a nice sum of money to Meryl. So he says, no, Meryl doesn't need the money. He says, I'm looking around and I see that you have nothing here. He says, no, I have two cows that I'm sustaining myself with, and that's how I make my parnasa. So the next day, he comes back, goes over to the Rebbetzin, and he says, can I have a cup of coffee? She says, sure. So she makes him like a black coffee, and he says, can I have some milk? She says, we don't have any milk in the house. He was a little surprised. He says, don't you have some cows in the back? She says, cows? I don't have cows. Says, your husband told me that you have cows and you make your panasa from these cows. She says, I don't know what you're talking about. So they go together to the tzaddik, to Meryl. She says, did you tell this man that we have cows? She says, yeah. He says, a cow in Yiddish is called a key. So he says, I told them we have two keys. That's how we sustain ourselves. Ki v'shem ki vo yismach libeinu, ki v'shem kol shavatachnu. Those are the two keys that we have for Nasa. Simcha and bitachin. Those are the two keys. In English, it's the two keys, right? But in Yiddish, it's the two cows. One time the Slonim Rebbe, the Divi Shmuel, came late to a tish on Friday night. Somewhat out of character, he was a more punctual person. And he said, when he got to the tish, he opened up and he said, Rav Meir from Farmishlan wouldn't come out to his tish until he felt that he was the lowest person in the room. And he said that once somebody came to the tish, and Romero was trying to be mahapech b'schusa. He tried to find something that he was better than him in, and he was taking time. A long time had gone by until they came to the conclusion that, listen, if it was the other way around, and I was him, and I had to come to the tish of Meir from Farmishlan, I wouldn't come. The fact that he came shows that he's better than me. Able to flip it to Mamish. there was a lady who came to him, was very broken, and he said he had a shop. He worked in the shop for over 50 years. And there was a seifa and it burnt down. And he was tzebrachin about it. And he said, Lomali Chaim, how can I go on without my shop? So Rabbi Meir told him, he says, you loved your shop more than you love yourself. And so therefore you wanted that your shop should outlive you. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam loves you more than he loves your shop. And he wanted that you should outlive the shop. Always know the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's cheshbonos. What could have been, what should have been. The chassad that Hashem Yisbach does for us on a constant basis. He was once by the Yeshuas Yaakov. And by the Yeshuas Yaakov, it was already post-davening. And they were learning a Tosfos. They had a Shver. No, it wasn't a Tosfos, it was a Rambam. Shver Rambam. And they decided they were going to ask the Meir from Mishlan pshat in the Rambam. So he says, I don't know. It's still before davening. After davening, I'll tell you pshat. So he davens. And after davening, he goes and he tells them pshat in the Rambam. So he says, yeah, it's a very clear pshat, a very good pshat. The Rambam himself told me pshat. I was doing davening. So the Rambam came to me and I asked the Rambam pshat. He told me pshat. So it's a good pshat because the Rambam told me. So they said about that afterwards. When he left, the Yeshuas Yaakov turned to the Olam and he says, do you really think that the Rambam told him? So they said, I guess the Rambam would have lied. So Yeshuas Yaakov says, no, the Rambam didn't tell him pshat. Didn't tell him pshat. Really? He knew pshat and Tosfos. He knew pshat and the Rambam anyways. But because he wanted to be master himself, he said that the Rambam told him. Because it's a higher madrega to be a Talmud Chacham who can learn the pshat than from the Rambam to tell you pshat. So in order to conceal his godless and his ga'onis and Torah, he told you that the Rambam told him so that you wouldn't think that he was a Talmud Chacham. That's what the Yeshuas Yaakov said. He was a huge Talmud Chacham from Far Mishlam, but he did many things to conceal that. But Shlomo Kluger, who was the Ga'on Yisrael at the time, he was the biggest gadol of the time. He was a very big Yedidus with the Meir from Far Mishlam. When Rameir passed away, he wrote an entire kuntres. He wrote an entire kuntres called Meir Enei Hamachakim Lestichasai, just as a hesbit on Rameir from Famishlan. That's how much he was be this with Rameir.
They have that kuntres?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Wasn't here in America?
No, it was Robin Broth. No. No. This is in the times of the early 1800s. Mid-1800s. Yeah. No, mid-1800s. Once they were sitting together and they were eating from the same plate. That's not much they were eating. They were eating from the same plate. And a Mifra Farmer Shlan, he took his tabak and he threw it into the plate and it was all messed up because of that. Whatever Rabbi Shinyonim he had. Rabbi Shlomo Klug continued to eat from it. Adirabba. He wanted to eat more of it after he threw the tabak into it. And he turned to his son, Rabbi Avraham Ben Yamin, who turned out was also a big gadol. At the time he was a child, and he tried to give him a spoonful of the tabak food. And he didn't want to eat it. He said later on, when he was older, all my life I regret the fact that I didn't eat that piece, that dish from the plate of Rav Nero from his tabak that he had. It was once Chassid came to him and he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. He's asking for a bracha from Rav Meril before he left, and he wouldn't give him a bracha. He said he couldn't give him a bracha spada. But he said that in the event that you're going to Eretz Yisrael and the waters get stormy, I'm giving you a kameya. You take it, you throw it into the water, and everything's going to be good for you. Bekachav, of course. Topsy-turvy, took the kameya, threw it into the water. It was another yid who was on the boat who saw that. He was astounded, and he's like, what? This just happened? He says, yeah, I have a kameya from a meril. They get off the boat together. One yid goes to Yerushalayim, another yid goes to Tzas. And he starts to tell over the story. His yid who's in Yerushalayim, he said, there was a guy in the boat, he took the kameya, threw it into the water, said it was from there, from Yerushalayim. All of a sudden, he looks around, and the yid from Tzfat is in the base of Medrash. He says, what are you doing here? He says, I don't know, I just happened to be here. He says, he's telling the Rav the story. He says, the Rav doesn't believe the story. He says, I'm telling you, it's MS. This is the chassid who did it. He's right over here. He says, if that's the case, Rav Meir from Mishlan, tell me a Torah in his name. That's what he said. See, he said, Rav Meir once said, why does it say by Chana? It says, Vatispal al Chana al Hashem. that to say Vatispalo Chana El Hashem. So he says, I'll tell you Pshat, Rav Meir said based on the Gemara. The Gemara says that Chana turns to Hashem Yisbarach and says, if you don't give me a child, don't know a way, I'm going to make myself into a sota. And then the bracha of a sota, who is innocent, is that she's zeichet the children. So either you're going to give it to me this way, or I'm going to do it the other way. So what did Chana daven? Chana says, listen, if I have to do it that way, I don't want to have to do it that way. Because you know what's going to happen? They're going to take your name, your holy name, they're going to throw it into the water, and they'll be meichik Hashem. So this is Laman Shemecha, don't have it, let it be this way. Just do it the regular way, so I don't have to. So Vatispal al Chana al Hashem. She daven for the shame Hashem. She was going to get children no matter what. But she said, she daven al Hashem, not al Hashem. When he heard that, he says, oh. So sorry, because there's such a tire like that, and calm the waters.
Great.
I told you before, he used to say things like on the dime, mamish, like blow away pshatim and psukim. He was once sitting with the Shlomo Kluger, and Rav Meir was the Graysa Bal Chesed of the door, and Shlomo Kluger was the Goyin Hadar. So when they were sitting together, when they met, so Rav Meir said, our getting together was a key of the pasuk. Umalki tzedek melech shalim, hoitzi lechem v'yoyin behu koyin le'el elyon. Shlomo Kluger didn't know, but he knew the way of Rav Meir, say things like that. So he said like this, Rav Meir. He says, but two tzedekim get together, each one learns from the other one, another midah. So he says, this is pshan pasuk. Umalki tzedek melech shalim hoitzi. Hoitzi means that he took out a midah. So Avram took away. Malki Tzedek took from Avram Avinu, right? Malki Tzedek was Hoitzi, Lechem V'yoyim, the Inyan of Chesed from Avram Avinu. But for who? What did Avram take from Malki Tzedek? Because he was Shem Ben Noach. He took from him Koyin Le'el De'Elyon, the Midah of Torah and Avodah, that's what he said. So you come to me, you take my Midahs of Chesed, and I come to you and I take your Midah of Torah and Avodah. He once said that at his shulchan he was saying Vardlach and Psukim to bring down Yeshuas and Brachas, and he was saying Pshan and the Psukim, which didn't shtim at all. You know, Kaseid by Tzadikim that they do that in order to bring down Shefa. So there was somebody there who didn't understand the Inyan, and the Rebbe chapped his machshava that he was asking this question. So Meryl said to him, it says, Halach and Shulchan Aruch Yodeya, that if a son sees a father doing something he's not supposed to do, he shouldn't say to him, Tati, you're doing an aver. He should say, Tati, does it not say in the Torah that, you know, to do this and that? So he said, he says, so too with me. I have a lot of things I have to say to the Baruch Shalom, but I don't have the chutzpah to say, you know, what are you doing? This is not right. You have to help. So I take a pasuk in Torah, and I teach it this and this and that way, as if to say before the Baruch Shalom, look, is it not supposed to be this way? He said, we once said a story from the Lechavitcher that he also was saying a Taichin Pasuk, which really didn't shtim. So there was a Misnagid who came over to me, says, Rebbe, he says, no, why don't you say Vartlach, which fit into the Psukim? So the Lechavitcher, he sighed and he says, ugh. He says, you see, the Olam thinks that I'm trying to take a Pshat and to stick it into the Pasuk. What I'm trying to do is to take the Pasuk and stick it into my heart. Cute story, very interesting. The Tzedek HaKoyin from Lublin. He said that he was once by Romero from Mishlan. And he used to tell this a lot, this story, I'm not sure why. Probably maybe because of the Chavitz of Romero. I said, we don't always get a story from Tzedek HaKoyin, so I'm going to have to share this story. So there was a chassid from the Rishoner who was there. And he didn't want to stay in Far Mishlan. He was on his way to Rishon, but he had no choice. When he saw the avoda from Rav Meir from Shomer Shabbos, he was mamish flabbergasted. He was shocked at the avoda, and he had a certain pigeon that he wanted to give to the Rebbe from Rishon. But he thought to himself, you know, I'm here with Rav Meir. He's a big tzaddik, so he says, I have to give him something. Should I give him half or should I give him the whole thing? So as soon as Rav Meir from Shomer Shabbos saw him when he came after Shabbos, so he said to him, I'm sure you put away a pigeon for the visioner. He said, of course. So then he says to him, if you're wondering whether you should give Meryl all of it or half of it, you should give him all of it. That's what he said to him. But then he found out, then he realized that if he was going to give him the whole thing, he was going to have to give him the money for the visionary. He didn't want to put hands on the money from the visionary. He realized to take the money from the visionary. K'toish Yisrael. So he says that he sat at Beis Din to see, api halacha and api chassidus, whether it would be allowed for him to take the money. Rav Tzadik says, I was part of that Beis Din. And we paskin that it is acceptable and mutter from a Meryl to take the money of the visionary, the entire pigeon. So the Rebbetzin was there, and she came running in after she heard the pshat, and she said, Meryl, he says, when I make you a food, if there's any shayla on it, you don't want to eat the food. But when there's money related to it, and there's a shayla, you're going to take it? That's what she said. So Tzadik used to say that. The Rebbetzin came in, she says, I make you the food, you have shayla, you don't touch it. Money, you take it. Somebody once came in and he wanted to marry off a daughter. So Amir looked at him and he said, daughter, you want to marry him? Okay. I'm going to give you a headache. Give you a headache. Didn't know what the world was talking about. Give you a headache. He says, as soon as he said that, a big gvir walked in. And he says to him, Rabbi, I'm a mashav. I have such a huge headache. These headaches are driving me crazy. So he says, oh. He says, okay, so you give the money to this guy who needs to marry off his daughter, and in the schus of that, I'm going to take away a headache. Take away a headache. So that's what he means. I have a headache for you. In order to get to the mikvah in the town, so it was at the bottom. It was at the bottom of a hill. It was a very steep hill, and in the winter it was very icy, and everybody would have to walk around. But Rameh was able to go down, and he was able to come up. So there was these two smart Alex. They tried to do the same thing too. They were trying to walk up the mountain when they were done, and they got to a pretty good point, and then they all fell down and they hurt themselves, and it was a disaster. So they came over to Rameh afterwards, and they said to him, "So, Nu, how do you do it, Rebbe? It doesn't seem it's humanly possible." So he said to them, "It's not a big deal. If you're attached above, then they don't. Then you don't fall below. If you're attached above, you don't fall below." It was once again by the Yeshuas Yaakov, and they brought out some type of a dish. Here it's called a pen kichel. Sounds like it says that it's something which was fried in oil and milk. And they gave it to Romero when he was sitting there, and he took the knife and he was ready to cut it. And he looked at it and he says, "Where is this from? This pen kichel?" As if like there was a shayla in the kashrus. And everybody there had their mouths open. Like, how could you even question the kashrus in the house of the Yeshuas Yaakov? But as soon as that happened, the Rebbetzin came running in and she said, "Don't touch it! Don't touch it!" There was a swap in the delivery. It was a change, and they gave us the wrong shipment. So afterwards they asked Romero, they said to him, "How did you know?" So, of course he had to conceal the Ruach Kodesh, this is what he said. So he says, "As soon as I took the knife and I was ready and I was starting to cut it, so there was a splash of the liquid which went into my face. And then I remember the Gemara says, Midachotz of Kulei Hai, Shema Mina Rishihu, from the fact that he has such a chutzpah shows that he's a Rasha. So I realized that the fact that the food has such a chutzpah to splash itself in my face, that it was a rush, it couldn't be kosher. So. Yid once came to him, he was involved in selling hides, and there was a potential hefsed gadol, a big loss that he was going to incur. So he asked the Rebbe for a bracha. The Rebbe said, "You don't have to worry about it at all." He says, "Leihudim haisa oira." You know, oiras with an ayin is hides. He says, "Leihuda haisa oira." That the yidden who have oiras, that they have hides, sasam v'simcha. It's going to be sasam v'simcha via car, and it's going to go up in value, and you're going to make a killing off of it. That's what he said. So Nassim Gestetner, when he told over the story, he said, "How could, what do you mean, leihudim haisa oira? Oira is with an aleph, it's not with an ayin. It's light, it doesn't say hides." He says, "But you have to know," says Rav Nasa Gestetner, "that Rav Meir from Ramishlan was a nitzis of Rabbi Meir in the Gemara. And Rabbi Meir, the Gemara says that in the Torah of Rabbi Meir, it didn't say Kosnas Or with an Ayin, it says Kosnas Or with an Aleph. So Rabbi Meir from Ramishlan, since he was a nitzitz of Rabbi Meir, was able to touch Lehudim Haisa Oiro with an Ayin, as opposed to an Aleph, because by him, an Ayin and the Aleph were interchangeable. One of the Greek Oinim of that Kufa, subsequent Kufa, was the Marsham from Bajan. When he was about 6 or 7 years old, so he was already known to be a rising star, and he was approached by a certain maskil, and he told him, listen, I'm having you this book, it has to do a lot with diktuk, and you need to know diktuk in order to become a big Talmud Chacham. And anyways, it was his way of trying to be mashpi on him, to away from his amelus and tire. And he was young and he was very impressionable, so he took this book, and after learning in cheder, he would go up to the attic and he started to read this. So his father, he went to the Mir from Farmishlan, and he took along his son, and they traveled together there. This is at a time that Rav Farmishlan was only, he would sit in a dark room. For 7 years he sat in a dark room, and he sat on the floor for 7 years. And that was during the tkufa that the Rishoner was incarcerated, and he was in jail, that he was makabal upon himself this galus, because the Rishoner was in that state. And that's how big of a deal it was, the Rishoner being in the Rishoner in galus, in the cell was the Shechina Kedosha in galus. He was a chaver of the Rishoner. They were both going him at the time, tzaddikim. So the Rebbe was sitting there, and he said, when he started to give a bracha, to first give a bracha to him, and then he came to the child, to the masham, and he put his hands on his head, and he took off his hat, and he took off his yarmulke, and he started to feel the head of the Marsham with his hands. And he said to him, do you shave your head? He asked some weird questions. Do you shave your head? You know, your grandfather, he shaved his head, like a chassid used to shave his head. And then he started to feel his payas, and he says, your Zayda didn't cut his payas ever, and he zeichet to arichas yamim because of that. And you will too also have a Aruch HaSayim if you don't shave your pays. And then he put his hands on his head again, and he started to scream. B'ni, b'ni, al teilich b'derech itam, mena raglecha minesivasam, ki ragleim l'ra yarutze v'yimar l'shpechtam, pasuk in Koheles, Mishle. And he said it again and again. He was screaming that pasuk, al teilich itam, don't go with him. He says for 15 minutes, he was screaming this pasuk, and his father and him, they were mamish. It says that their head was standing. Their hair was standing. This is told over by his son. He writes it on the Hakdama to the Sefer. When he calmed down, he said to him, "Bini Yakiri," he says, "Listen, my child, don't listen to anybody who tries to give you svarim like this, who tries to take you away. Listen to what your father told you to do. You have a Messiah from your grandfather." He's asking questions about his grandfather. He says, make sure you walk in the Derech HaVeisecha, and you're going to be Matzliach. You're going to become a Goyin Yisrael. That's what he said to him. Yeah. Later on, that's why the father didn't know, but the Ramiro knew Baruch HaKadosh, and the father found out. And this person was a Shabtai Tzvinik, and he was trying to chaf this young budding Talmud Chacham. But with Ramiro's intervention, it was a big Yeshua from the Marsha. Used to tell over the story. One last story. different schools of this, but once the Shinever was by, he was a chassid of the Sar Shalom from Belz, and he didn't want to go see Romero without permission, but he had a big krishik, and he asked the Sar Shalom, he didn't want him to be back, but he says, of course, you should go see all the tzaddikim of the time. So he went. And he tried to hide himself, that he shouldn't know who he was, that he was the son of the Devar Chaim. But afterwards he knew he couldn't hide the fact that he was him. There's more details to this story. But he was makarav him very much. And he said to him, he showed him that Rashi says Rashi says in his Perush on Divrei HaYamim that the first people who will come and greet Mashiach will be the soldiers, the Jewish soldiers who were constricted into the army, and they had to fight for the Yiddishkeit, and they were oppressed and all types of conditions that they had to go through. He says it was the whole ma'isa why he told them that, but he said those are going to be the first people to be mekabel Mashiach Tzidkenu. So he was so happy he saw this Rashi. This Rashi, he came back home and he showed this Rashi. I'm not sure if he showed it to the Divrei Chaim, whoever it was, but he showed over this. He pulled out a Divrei HaYamim and he says, you know, Rashi says, and he started opening it, looking for it. Couldn't find the Rashi. Couldn't find it. So then he said, if that's the case, he says, there's a Perush Rashi which only tzaddikim get to see. He says, this, you can't find this Rashi in Divrei HaYamim. But there's a secret Perush that Rashi has that tzaddikim are privy to, that the Merul was able to see. He was able to show you Rashi on Divrei HaYamim. But it's a different Perush Rashi. It's only the Perush Rashi that tzaddikim are able to see. Yeah. So we'll see you later.